Prayer up this morning. May all of our days be used to glorify your holy name. May all of the efforts that we exert on this earth be pleasing to you. May the love of Christ be shown through us and in us. We love you. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, I think I alluded to the title of this message today is Under Pressure. You know, I challenge you not to hear that Queen song in your head, but I'm sorry about that. But that's okay, because any mnemonic device that I can use, I'll use it. I just won't be playing it during this sermon, just to let you know, in case you're disappointed. Let's talk about seasons. Fall is always so chaotic and stressful as the new routines and pressures build up again. New school clothes, I've been through Meijer, I've seen all the stuff that's out there now. I mean, it's if you're ready to buy for school kids, now's the time. You got to learn the schedule of bus pickups and drop-offs. That adds to your stress level. Then there's the winter blues. Those are right around the corner. Yeah, thanks for that, Steve. That can be a common reaction. Those winter blues are a common reaction to different factors, including holiday stress and colder temperatures and fewer hours of daylight, the stretch of time between fall and spring. Can bring about boredom and restlessness and an overwhelming feeling of discomfort. In spring, spring can bring increased pressure to engage socially, allergies, a set of expectations we're conditioned to do and want and experience, all changing weather that can cause poor health, all of which can combine to prompt an annual period of struggle. I recently read that being an adult is simply saying, after this week, things will slow down a bit, over and over and over again until you die. That's an adult. And now what? My question to you, wasn't that an uplifting beginning? I mean, already you're saying, just start over. No, but the point is that every season contributes to our stress levels in unique ways. Pressure has a way of squeezing us, right? And for many of us, we don't know what's inside until we get squeezed. Pressure has a way of ratcheting up the tension. Sometimes we take it on our family members and friends. Pressure and stress can be making life messy. So I have a strange opening question in light of that. What are you wearing? Sounds strange, but it's a very important question. We're going to be exploring 1 Peter chapter 5 today. If you'd like to go there in your pew Bible or on your phone, Peter talks about elders and youth getting along. That's what he's talking about here. Like a teacher to a student or a parent to a child. Then he says to all of them this: all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. As we look at the pressures of life, notice what Peter says to us. Clothe yourself with humility so the Lord can lift you up in due time. What he's saying is that when you're humble, you're teachable. When you're humble, you're dependent on God. So he can lift you up. Because what the proud often do is say, I can figure this out. I got it all on my own. I got it. I'm good. Then they come up with a plan. They work hard, but they end up stressed out and burned out. So Peter shows us that the humble do this. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Notice, this is a short little passage, but notice the second word, all. It doesn't say most. It doesn't say everything except, well, you know, that one thing. It says all. And now notice the word cast. And I really think this is, in modern translation, don't throw stones at me, but I think this is a poor translation. It's an interesting word in the Greek. It's the longest word in the verse. The word is epipisantis. Epipisantis. It sounds like a hot new kind of salsa, tell you the truth. Like I can already see the commercial in my head. But this word shows up only one other time in the entire Bible. Epipisantis. It was when the disciples took their heavy bags that they were carrying and loaded them onto a donkey, leaving us the concept of taking our heavy load and unloading it on Jesus. I think of it this way: unload all of your anxiety on him. Can you just picture what God is asking you to do? Some of you have been carrying grudges in your families for years. It's been so long that you know no other reality except for that awkward tension that now permeates the room every time there's a get-together. Or maybe it's that someone in your family who just made a very foolish mistake and made a moral decision that you just disagree with. In some ways, it's now a reflection on your family name. Or now you feel like a failure as a parent because of what your supposed adult child decided to do. The burden is obvious. We're heading to North Carolina this afternoon, and I'm bringing this with me. No matter what time of year it is, there are always things weighing us down. Deadlines, social pressures, job worries, financial stress. The weight is so real. Peter is telling us to unload the weight. Ah, the weight is off. The weight is lifted. So what is your anxiety? What's the burden that you need to unload? Is it tension with a coworker? Is it tension with an employer or an employee? It just seems like whenever they're around, there's instant blood pressure increase, right? Or for many of you, maybe your anxiety is some medical diagnosis. I know in Ilse's and my case, we're trying to ignore the fact that we have close friends who are battling cancer. We try to remain positive, but the reality is that is an anxiety. It's a burden. Listen to me. God says, unload it. I can handle it. Why? Do you see the rest of the verse? Because he cares for you. There's so few words and so much meat in those words that you see up there. This is where faith either tangibly is real for you or it's just a theory. Do you believe God is active? Or do you believe God is passive? If you believe that God is just passive and aloof in your life, then there's no hope. So I hope you have a strong back because you will be carrying those burdens for a lifetime, a lot heavier than that. Either you believe that he cares for you or you don't. But you need to know something. Belief doesn't make something true. You know what does? Something true makes something true. Let me explain. You may feel that God doesn't care about the small details of your life. You may just believe that God cares about your salvation and maybe the real big spiritual moments. But just because you believe that doesn't mean it's true. The truth is, God does care for you. He cares about your burdens. He is your perfect and very active Father, who deeply loves you, regardless of whether you believe it or not. The question is, when will you give him the chance to show it to you? Remember, sometimes we don't have because we don't ask, right? So why not just give it a try? So let's ask, let's say this together. Lord, may I have your peace. Take a deep breath. Breath is critical. I mean, every one of us in here every one of us in here do that. We breathe in and we breathe out. God filled Adam and Eve with life by doing what? By breathing into them the breath of life. Many years later, when the church was born, it says that God sent a wind, his breath, to breathe life into the church. And so my prayer for you is that you may breathe deep the breath of God and receive his peace. Peace. Remember the Hebrew concept of peace? The concept of peace in Jewish culture is that it's the calm within the chaos. It's not calm after the chaos. It's the calm within the chaos. That's peace. After we're challenged to unload our anxiety on the Lord who cares for us, let's look at the very next verse. Discipline yourselves. Oh boy, here we go. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. I mean, really, we may bristle at the word discipline, but I love that phrase, discipline yourselves. What it really indicates is calling me and you to a responsibility. You have a responsibility. Leaving a burden with the Lord doesn't absolve you of being present and facing tough situations. But then notice how Peter takes it on to the spiritual realm. Peter describes it as the devil on the attack. You see, the enemy hates unity. The enemy hates peace. He hates love. His goal is to divide your work, your family, your friendships. That's why when we don't deal with our jealousy and our resentments and our disappointments, we're more susceptible to broken relationships. So let's just say you get into the new school year, for those of you who can remember that, and you just prayed the first part of the prayer, Lord, may I have your peace in the chaos. Or you start a new job. Fill in the blanks with whatever anxiety-causing event might happen. You take a deep breath, you join the family fun. How do you, as Peter said, stand firm in your faith and not let that new pressure get to you? Well, you pray this second part of the prayer. It's found in this next verse. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, and strengthen you. So the next question is, read that with me. Lord, may I receive your power. We need to ask for that with boldness. We need to ask for the power to change the environment. Did you know there's a reason that Jesus called us to be salt and light? Salt changes the flavor, right? And light changes the situation from dark to light. God will give you the power to redefine the situation, to help you stand against the struggles. So let's unpack this a little bit. Suppose someone in your life constantly undercuts you with their words. It seems that everything you do gets twisted through their filter of lies about you. Now, how do you not only have peace when there's constant tension, but how do you have the power to change the environment and turn it to the good? That's why we're saying that it starts with praying to God. That's where it starts, not with you devising a plan. Okay? As you cry out, help me, Lord, I feel undercut. I don't feel safe with this person. I don't even want to be around them. Do you know what's going on? God is truly becoming your Heavenly Father in that very moment. My two oldest kids were in the middle of a fight long time ago. When my son came to me and told me everything that was wrong with his sister. Because I wasn't knee-deep in the emotion of it all, and because I love both of them, turns out, I was able to give him some good counsel, I thought. And I say that because it worked, but anyhow, he resumed his negative list for me, and after a pause, I asked him to name something that he liked about her. He was exasperated, but it's fun to watch an air of peace coming over him, right? Like, okay, I stopped the record. And guess what happened? I asked him to give me three good things. And three good things actually came out of his mouth. I then told him, now you got to go tell her. Guess what her response was? Well, first, it was doubt and anger right off the bat because she, was unexpected. But then it turned into a smile. You see what happened? Atmosphere changed. He became salt. He became light in the situation. As the Father, I helped him think differently, and which helped him change the environment. That's exactly what I'm talking about. When you go to God for help, you're going to hear your Heavenly Father say things like, forgive. Oh, go the extra mile. Oh, pray for your enemies. Oh, bless those who persecute you or are against you. In other words, you're going to hear God say, tell me three good things about your mother-in-law. Or your coworker, or your boss. You may say, come on, Pastor, that may work with your kids, but our situation is so much more complicated than a kid fight. Of course it is. So why are we still acting like kids by not forgiving? Dramatic pause. Why do you think Jesus said to us, forgive over and over and over again, and also bless your enemies? because he knew that someone has to be the one to stop the relationship from tumbling out of control. Someone has to turn the tide in the other direction. So why? Not you. I know it's hard. I know it's so much easier to talk about it right now than it is to really follow through with it when you are face to face with that person. I think one of the biggest hurdles in overcoming a strained relationship is our pride. It's so tough to take the high road. Let's admit it. It's even embarrassing and humbling sometimes, right? You can't help but think that they will wonder what's up with you. All of a sudden, you're so nice again. Or he'll think you have an ulterior motive. That's tough. But that's why I'm telling you to ask for power. This is not under your own steam. This is not a natural thing to do. It helps me to stand firm, as I said in that verse, but because I know that there are dark spiritual forces against us. When I'm working through a brokenness in a relationship, the devil is trying to separate us. The person doesn't become the target. The real enemy does. I'm not talking about being a doormat. Please don't hear me say that. On the contrary, what I'm talking about takes great strength. Instead of being in a defensive reactionary mode, try changing the environment. Think about the one or two areas that you're proud of them for, then just focus the conversation to that area for a while. I had this with a supervisor that was very contentious about so many things, and I just decided, I was impressed with his hard work ethic, though. I really was. He was a hard worker. And so I said, how's it going for you? How's it going? And as he gave me his answer, you just may follow up and say, you know, it's impressive to watch you go through your workday so efficiently. Good job. You're doing a good job. See what you're doing? You're blessing them. You're redefining the relationship. I could have, and probably did several times, admittedly say, what is wrong with you? You know? I mean, why don't you change? But this turned the tables. If the moment seems right, you may want to follow it up with something like, how did things get so messed up between us? And that I've said before. And I'm sorry for our raising our voices with each other. In these statements, you aren't just stopping the escalation, you're moving the relationship forward in the opposite direction, right? That's why you need to be asking God in your prayer, Lord, may I receive your power. He will supply the power. Now, once we've prayed for peace, once we've prayed for power to change the environment, then there's just one other part to help us reduce the stress in our lives. Look at the last two verses. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and he will place you on a firm foundation. To him be the power forever and ever. When I read these words in our context for today, they just screamed one word. It's not up there, but the one word that it screams is temporary. No matter how hard it is to face stress, all of our struggles, all of our strain, all of our effort is only for a little while. In other words, pray this part. Lord, may I please have your perspective. Read that with me. Lord, may I please have your perspective. See, the point is, no matter how broken your relationship, it's only temporary. Okay, Francis Chan. Is everybody familiar with Francis Chan? He's a very good pastor. He's young and bald, and I don't know whether the bald part was necessary, but it was to me, Jamie. But he uses this illustration of a rope. Ilsa, can I have you hold the other end there? The one that has the blue on it. He uses this illustration with a really long rope, just like this one. And this rope, any knots in it? Oh, no. What happened? There we go. This rope represents eternity. Okay? All of eternity. Now, in actuality, that rope, thank you, that rope just goes beyond the cash box. So it's not all of eternity, but this rope represents all of eternity. It's the timeline of our existence. This includes you. This is your eternity. It goes on and on forever. In this blue part right here, this blue part represents our time here on earth. You got a few short years here on earth compared to that, right? But the rest of this rope, the rest of this rope is the rest of your existence. It represents eternity. Most of us spend all of our time thinking about this blue part. What will I accomplish here? What, how can I be happy here? How can I save and save and save and I can, for a little bitty pass of this blue section? How can I then relax, retire, and play shuffleboard? But again, from a logical perspective, it's almost silly. We don't spend hardly any time thinking about that. God's perspective of eternity. And we ought to. We worry so much about this little blue part. But the choices we make during this little blue part represent our eternity. We only get one chance. So many people sacrifice eternity for just the here and now. We often forfeit eternity for a little pleasure, a little sin. The smallest part of our existence consumes us, and we fail to see the perspective of eternity. This is the only reality we know. But God is outside of time and space. God is infinitely before the beginning of our time, and we didn't put a lot there, but that's before we came. God is forever and ever after the end of time. We're just living here in the struggle for a relatively short time, like a snap of the finger, like a blip on the radar. What's my point? To give you perspective. Perspective helps you to hold on. Perspective gives you the bigger plan. Perspective reminds you that this temporary pressure that you feel is just that. It's temporary. So hang on and lean on the Lord. That's why you need to pray, Lord, please, I beg you, give me your perspective. You see what happens after we've endured the tension and suffering for a little while? It says, then the Lord himself will restore you and support you and strengthen you and establish you. What words of promise. Restore, support, strengthen. I'm certain that we will all feel stress this year. I mean, come on. Life is just not easy at times. But as we think about this current pressure, let me ask you again, what are you wearing? As we clothe ourselves in humility, he wants these questions to be on our lips and in our prayers. Lord, will you give me your peace? Lord, will you give me your power? Dear God, will you please give me your perspective? God invites us to ask him for those questions over and over again. So let's accept that invitation. Peace, restoration, power, support, and perspective, strength. Let's pray. God, our Father, you, just in these short passages in the book of 1 Peter, have given us a glimpse of what it's like to live in your presence, with your peace, with your perspective. Lord God, we thank you for the words of Peter that remind us today and always that we can unload all of our anxieties on you for one reason, because you care for us, you love us, you support us. And for that, we thank you. Amen.